You are visiting a church at the beginning of what we call our church year. We're still on that kind of school's calendar, school schedule. So we apologize that it's going to be a little different than what we normally do. We are taking care of important church family matters that concern our congregation here at the beginning of the year. Last week, we reviewed our statement of vision and values because the elders determined that we needed to keep that statement in front of ourselves and the congregation more than we have been doing. This week, we are also focusing on an aspect of life together that the elders want the congregation to be much more aware of. And that is the ministry of Stuart and Celia McAlpine that takes place outside of our congregation. If you are visiting with us, Stuart and Celia are a founding pastoral couple of this church. Been ministering in the church since 1987. But recently, and this is not anything new that we're talking about this morning, actually, what you'll be hearing about are not new initiatives or it's not a change in their roles. Instead, this is what is currently taking place and has been happening for several years in increasing measure. We believe it is the will of the Lord and it is an intentional decision of the elders to support the expression of Stuart and Celia's multiple gifts for the edification of the larger body of Christ. As the founding pastoral couple of our church, their gifting has planted and built up our body. But now the Lord has called for us to support them in a role of ministering in His church worldwide and in Washington, D.C. We have determined to do a better job of informing and involving the congregation in this calling. So that is what we will be doing for most of today. As the elders have reflected on this, we have realized that one of the reasons why we have not done a better job of informing you is that Stuart and Celia are naturally reluctant to call attention to themselves and their work. They don't feel good being up here talking about that stuff. Both of them have said, oh boy, this is going to be a really tough service for us because we have to stand up and talk about what we do. But as we all know, as they know, this is not their work. It is the Lord's work, and it is an important aspect of calling to our church to be supportive and involved in that work. So when Stuart and Celia talk about what they're doing, when you hear testimonies about people who have benefited from that, that is not what Stuart and Celia are doing for the Lord. That is what the Lord is doing through them and the gifts that He has given them. We have asked Stuart and Celia to briefly share with you about the work of the Lord that you are involved in with and through them. We will first hear from Celia about ASK and how the Lord is impacting the world through this ministry. Most of the times that Stuart and Celia are away, they're attending ASK conferences for this worldwide organization that they founded and provide ongoing leadership for. So for now, I'd like to invite Celia forward to give us a little bit of an understanding about ASK and what's going on there and how they have all witnessed the Lord at work in there. There's exciting things happening.
Thanks, Bo. He took a lot of words right out of my mouth, way outside our comfort zone here. And he's absolutely right. This is nothing about us, but it's actually about us. Who you are as the body of Christ, who you've encouraged us to be. In life, we often find ourselves in places we never expected to be, and you go, how did we get here? And what you do is you just follow Jesus the next step, don't you? So as briefly as I can, if I could have the ASK website up, I'll try and give you a little bit of a description, I think, of what we're doing right now. When you hear, I don't know what they are afterwards, testimonials or references, they are actually an incredible comment on the people who are giving them. The people you'll hear their words read are all extraordinary people. God has given us gifts of leaders in nations that are way beyond anything we could have found or looked for. ASK began 10 years ago. Our vision statement is gathering all generations to pray for all nations and hopefully pray in all nations, asking God to do what only He can do, and doing whatever He asks of us. And STEP, which we've just seen, is a perfect example. We have an open door onto that campus by the grace of God through this man Abhijit, and we ask him to do in India what only he can do. But what he's asked us in return is to go back and not only teach. This year there were 75 women we had earlier in the year. We're going back again in November. Teach the women. Prayer is still very much in India considered the women's business, and Bible study and teaching the men's business. But in that context, Stuart will then be speaking to these young disciples, these Ezra and Esthers, and the young pastors. So the Lord has used ASK as a door into a much broader ministry in India amongst the church there, and releasing Stuart's experience here at Christ Our Shepherd. What we've learned amongst you, we're able to take out into other contexts. So when we began 10 years ago, we had a small base here in the US and a small base in the UK and an even smaller base in Africa. And we had no idea whether God was going to allow us to exist for a year or two or more. And he has continued to give increase beyond our imagining. It is breathtaking to us. So in North America, we've seen the expansion up into Canada. We have a very strong work in Canada. Our continental directors, Ray and Arlene, who you'll hear from later, live in Ottawa. And we're now seeing doors open down into Cuba and Guatemala. South America, we have had no inroads yet, and that is the Lord's business. And we're asking him at the right time to begin to open doors into South America and Central America. Meanwhile, in Europe, we've got a foothold right across into Russia, where God has given us that lovely group, couple, Sasha and Kasusha, you've supported many times in Kaliningrad. And so that's Europe expanding between UK and Russia, and a lot of contacts in between. Africa has been extraordinary. Isn't Africa often extraordinary? So often they lead us in ways we are not leading ourselves in terms of intercession. And we have a leader called Charles Koloki and Miriam. They're in Kenya. And they are, again, apostolic. And they are gathering in Zambia. Stuart is going to be able to be with them. I am not, in October. And we have leaders coming from approximately 20 nations. That doesn't represent all the nations ASK is in Africa. There are several of the nations from West Africa because of the expense of tickets. Air flights to Zambia won't be there. But there will be a gathering of leaders and the launching of the ministry in Zambia. Africa is just a gift to the work of ASK because they inspire us to keep pressing on. The Lord has opened doors into Asia. Lace Fang, who you'll also hear from, who used to be a member of this church, has started two groups in Bangkok, both of them early beginnings, but both strong. And one is just with Pakistani women. But through that, we're now connected with a large prayer group that is led by one of their uncles in Pakistan, and they have now asked if ASK Network will go into Pakistan. Stuart and I have to work out visas. How can you go into Pakistan and India in juxtaposition? It's very complicated. So we are in desperate need to see more teams raised up to be doing what Stuart and I have been doing. We've got open doors in Indonesia. We've got open doors and invitation into Japan. That's Southeast Asia. India is the most significant at the moment. We have new contacts in Australia and New Zealand, and we're sending Beverly Code, who you'll also hear from in a little while, to launch the work there in January. So, how we got this. If we could just scroll, can you click on asking points? Asking points are our bi-monthly communication, international communication. Every nation has its own, and click on September, October. Thank you, Shibola, the one above. There we go. And you just scroll down. The first two pages are always a prayer focus. And if you could just scroll down to page 3, which is the nations. Here in Christ Our Shepherd, we have prayer every Sunday morning and of different kinds. This morning it was TAG, where we pray for our people who are in the nations. ASK Network is to, our call is to pray for a nation. And we have a different nation every month, and September is Angola, and on the right-hand side, we pray for an unreached people group within that nation. And then if we scroll down one more, next month is Namibia. So the fourth Sunday, we've always, again, I think perhaps it's totally our fault that we haven't pressed people or invited people. We've always felt folk in the congregation who wanted to be part would come alongside. But we've never been as active as we should have been inviting people. So the fourth Sunday of every month from 7:30 to 9:30, if you can come fasting, that's great. We'll give you breakfast at 9:30. We will spend 2 hours praying for a nation. When I was at college, that's where I cut my teeth in a group that would spend, an OM group, Operation Mobilization, that would spend 4 or 5 hours with a map in front of them and praying for a nation. You are incredibly blessed to be in a church that has such an emphasis on mission. What Brittany does, what TAG does, is an extraordinary, and Tammy has been a huge part of that. It is an extraordinary gift to a church to have a strong missions arm. I believe God blesses the base back home that supports those out there. I'm going to close. There's a lot more I could say, and maybe Stuart, honey, when you come up, if there's anything I haven't said, feel free to add to it. But this was an email I got this week. Beverly Code has been a leader with us. We've known her for 30 years, but she's been a leader with us, first North America, and now she's like an ambassador at large. And every Thursday morning, we send in prayer requests to those that are on home base. They may be elderly. They may be those who can't go to the nations any longer. But they are incredible intercessors. So we are able to send our prayer requests to them every week. And Beverly went to write hers this week, and I'll read you what she writes. And Ray Borg, who's our now North American Continental Director from Canada, had just sent in his requests. And this is what Beverly writes. I was about to write to you, and the Lord gave me a vision for ask. This was this Thursday. It is of a multi-story building, and each time a new floor is added, the builders saw something new. Of course, the scripture to go with that is, see, I am doing a new thing, Isaiah 43. But it was only when I read Ray's email and he had the same scripture for this morning that I realized the conjunction was what God is saying in the nations. This is happening quickly, and only the Lord can do it. We just need to listen and follow. And my heart rejoiced, but it also gulped at the same time. Like, how can we keep up with the pace of which God is moving us? So thank you for your grace to us. Thank you. You are always so lovely to welcome us back. We miss you terribly when we're gone. We're so appreciative for all the ones back here who hold the fort. And we just feel incredible grace at this season of our life to be able to come in and out like this and know that you love us when we come back anyway. And one sows, one waters, but only God can give the increase.
So it's pretty exciting to hear about all the different places that ASK is involved in, and we get to be a part of that. We asked people involved in the ASK ministry, we asked for some testimonials from them about the impact of it, and so we have some things from that. The first one is a video, which is, wow, that's pretty cool. We're going to work on having more of these in the future. But the first one is a video, and the rest are excerpts that are going to be read, so if I'd ask my readers to come forward, and we can get that video up there, Sibola.
Hello, dear friends, and shalom from Israel. My name is Tony Sperandeo. I'm the senior pastor of Amayan, the Wellspring Congregation in Kfar Saba. And I just wanted to give a word about Stuart and Celia McAlpine. We're so grateful to got to know them, to be involved with their seminars and conferences that they had in Israel, and also to meet them in Washington. And we just recognize their ministry, a wonderful ministry of encouragement and help and intercession and praying for the body of Israel. So I just have only good things to say about them. They are wonderful people. They're wonderful mentors. They're a great gift to the body of Messiah. And I just want to tell them, well done, good and faithful servants. And I pray that God will continue to bless them and encourage them.
So I'm going to read a testimony from Charlie Cleverly from Oxford, England, as you can see there, the European directors for ASK. Charlie is the head of St. Aldate's Church in Oxford, England, where Ewing, Stuart's son, and Stuart and Celia's son got married to Charlie's daughter. The heart of the McAlpines and Christ our Shepherd for world missions and the nations, a long obedience in the same direction already, received new definition in 2008 when ASK Network was born. Stuart and Celia have now worked for the past 10 years through ASK as its international directors to promote, teach about, and call forth biblical prayers across the world. In Africa, the work has been particularly fruitful and needed, but in many other places too. From India to Nepal to Spain, Stuart and Celia's teaching and encouraging ministry has been a catalyst for provoking prayer, which, God willing, can change the world. Whenever they go, wherever they go, the work grows and they are appreciated and valued as teachers of the word and architects of the kingdom. Their ministry is particularly towards leaders, and we pray for them in this next season. We congratulate Christ Our Shepherd Church on your strategic partnership with them, and we pray that this may be ongoing and bear much fruit in the future.
I am Bishop Elliott from South Africa. My relationship and friendship with Stuart and Celia has been for some years now. Meeting them has been a great blessing and a joy. They have played a key role in fathering me and others. Their exemplary life has been encouraging to us. It is my belief that this couple has and will play a great and important role in their leadership, in our continent and in the world. Thank you so much for the kingdom impact.
Ray and Arlene Borg in Ottawa, Canada. In the words of Ray, Stuart and Celia have a significant influence in developing leaders and the ability to gather pastors and leaders of diverse ethnic and cultural backgrounds. This leadership requires a unique gifting and call of God, which I have seen stewarded by both of them very effectively and with much sensitivity to the Spirit and with wisdom. I believe they are called in this season to step more fully into their call to the global sphere as gatherers of pastors and leaders across the nations, and to faithfully steward the international work of Ask Network International as it continues to grow and expand its influence and impact on the nations of the earth. For such a time as this, I believe they are being positioned to strategically impact the nations for the cause of His kingdom.
Lei Sfang, Thai national leader. Through Stuart and Celia's years of faithful ministry, the Lord has given them such a wealth of wisdom, discernment, strength, and joy in their service to the Lord. For those with fledgling or outlying ministries, there is such a thirst for and thus great strengthening that comes from being discipled and led by them. We have seen the Lord make exciting connections in both India and Pakistan, and it is such joy to see Celia and Stuart moving into those places and offer such precious ministry, training, fellowship, and encouragement. I am so thrilled to see how the Lord will continue to use them among the nations for strengthening, shepherding, training, and ministering in healing and in the prophetic for His glory, in His love, and by His great might.
Beverly Code. Ask has grown more than we could have imagined since its inception, and the role of Stuart and Celia has been pivotal. God is using them to make a difference in the nations of the world. I could go on and on. They are so needed, and I know God has called them during this season and has placed them in Ask for such a time as this. I believe the scriptural mandate for the McAlpines during this season is, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Colossians 4:17. I personally thank your church for the support you have so freely given to the McAlpines as they have been obedient to fulfill God's calling on their lives.
Bishop Charles Koloki, I would like to thank the Almighty God for connecting us with Stuart McAlpine and his lovely wife, Celia. The two have been a great blessing to our lives as family and ministry. They have been spiritual parents and great encouragement in the service of the Lord. Great work has been done whenever we have traveled with Stuart and Celia. Revival of prayer has been evident. These two are chosen vessels for the nations who are doing great work, which needs prayer and great support. We believe very strongly Stuart and Celia apostolic, I always mess that word up, apostolic call to the body of Christ and have great messages in themselves which the nations need to hear and receive in preparation for the soon coming global revival and King Jesus our Lord. In Africa, Stuart and Celia are loved because of the great work of Ask Network, sweeping nation by nation. We need these beloved servants God to work with us in this season as we deepen the foundations of Christianity in Africa and prepare Africa as a sending nation for missionaries to the rest of the nations. Our prayer is that God will continue to raise Stuart and Celia more and more and more and strengthen them, body, soul, and spirit. We pray that God will continue to surround them with strong, godly men and women who will support their vision and their call in Christ.
Amen. That is a trick that Lorenzo has, that he stumbles over a word because he wants you to remember that, right? So apostolic, you got that now, right? We are supporting Stuart and Celia in this, in that we have said to Stuart, you need time to do this. So take the time. He has to prepare messages when he goes. Obviously, he's gone from us for periods of time. But what we do not provide for is the plane fare to get Stuart and Celia to and from these places. There's an organization you'll probably be hearing more about. It's just starting, called McAlpine Partners. And that's a number of people came to Stuart and Celia and said, we want to set something up that is going to fund you for these kind of things. And so if you want to be a part of that, you can ask various people in our church, ask the elders about that. There's a way to support them. It also is used to provide scholarship money to some of the leaders who don't have the ability to travel to these conferences. Now, the other area that's really important is what we are calling citywide ministry. Stuart has always had a heart for meeting with other pastors for mutual encouragement, but this has become more central to his life and ministry lately. I think it was in 2013 that National Community Church held its first City Fathers Conference that featured leaders that have faithfully ministered in D.C. for many years. And Stuart was asked to speak at that conference. That many years? Has it been that many years? The elders observed the impact of this message and how other pastors were drawn to his leadership at this conference. We were also convicted that our commitment to church unity in the city needed to be more than just lip service. See, the truth is that while virtually all churches and pastors will talk about the value of church unity and believe it, the demands of local church pastoring simply leave very little room for the time needed to pursue and express church unity. On the priority list, relationships with other pastors, with other churches, simply get squeezed out. We realized that Stuart and Celia are uniquely gifted to gather and minister to a wide variety of pastors from different theological camps and backgrounds. So our commitment to church unity meant instructing Stuart, along with Celia, to prioritize what we are calling citywide ministry and how he spent his compensated time, time that we were compensating him for. His pastoral salary from COSC did not mean that he needed to focus on COSC pastoral needs. We wanted him to focus a significant amount of time on what was needed to promote church unity in our city. The results have been exciting, and we have been encouraged that we are absolutely discerning the Lord's will on this. So now I want to invite Stuart forward to share with you about this citywide ministry. He won't have time to tell you all about it, because, Stuart, we're already running behind time. Hint, hint. But he is going to be able to give you a taste of it, and it's something that you can constantly ask him about because he loves talking about it because it's exciting stuff happening.
If you're running behind time, I'm the last guy you want to hand the microphone to. How many say amen to that? Just riding on what Celia shared for an immediate something for prayer. We were meant to be in Cuba in June. A lead pastor in Cuba came across Ask Literature, and he followed up with it. He organized pastoral gatherings in every province in Cuba. We were denied our religious visa. I can't go in on a tourist visa because I don't want to be blacklisted and not be able to get in again. So you could really pray for the release of religious visas for a visit to these pastors in December, first week in December. And you can pray for me next week. I'm going to be meeting. I've got a day. I'm flying to meet with a lead pastor from Cuba for us to talk about the strategic gatherings and their heart for a national prayer network. And as you know, right now, if you read the news, the religious liberty issues are really under siege in Cuba, in post-Castro. And you are tracked. You know, you're just followed. So please cover that in prayer, and also the Abhijit, the northeast India, because it's an anti-conversion law state going in there. They just want us to spend 40 hours teaching asking. We can't. They can't gather the hundreds of pastors. It's all sort of under. So they are gathering 50 master teachers. They're so well organized. They've got 50 master teachers. So I'll be teaching them, and then they will go out through the provinces for the 15, 20 pastors that they take care of. So that's the way it works. And just, today's world, when you fly out of the West, everywhere we go, the church is poor and it is persecuted. And that's why we never take a cent. We won't allow them to help with airfares or anything like that. So then the Lord, that's our responsibility to take care of the Lord supplying that. Talking of asking, I have an announcement of a birth this morning. It's been a long time in the birth canal, but it has been born. Just Asking is published this week. So Just Asking, Restoring the Soul of Prayer. Now, that's a hand, it's not a big book, isn't it? You know why it's that small? Because it's on really thin paper. And it's not a sort of happy narrative of here's some nice prayer stories. It's essentially a biblical theology of asking. There's about 1,500 scriptural references. So it's not like you just read it like you read a novel, but it's like a textbook referral for asking in God, asking in Jesus, asking in the Holy Spirit, what makes for effective asking. And I hope it will be a blessing to you. There'll be a lot of copies here next Sunday, so you can get it for 20% below whatever the price is on Amazon. It's on Amazon right now. But anyway, thank you, Lord. This has been a long birth, and it's a fruit of our body. It's years ago we did an asking series, and it's a fruit of this community. So thank you. Citywide, just headline, as Bo said, that whole initiative came at a time of prayer apart with the elders. And one of the I think it was Terry, who asked, he said, anyone looking at our budget, how would they know we cared about unity and racial reconciliation in the city? And we took that to prayer. And anyway, out of that came a sort of sending. Now, I have always loved meeting with pastors in the city as a pastor. In fact, the city fathers, Mark wouldn't mind me telling the story. I remember when Mark Batterson came to town, I heard about him, took him out for lunch, welcomed him into the city, said, how can we support you? How can we love you? That was the early days when they were getting, that's before they even got into Union Station, and got to know him. And then exactly what Bo said, it's the busyness of pastoral life. And I've been really missing closer relationship with Mark. And Celia and I invited Mark and Laura around for dinner. And, out of that came a wonderful renewal of relationship. Then we did it again. And out of that conversation came the vision for City Fathers Conference. And we had it. And out of that City Fathers gathering, something happened. And I've just got to say to you, after ministering in the city for 30 years, we are seeing some answers that we have prayed for 30 years. It's like little blades coming through the ground. And it is absolutely across the whole body of Christ in its diversity and its brilliance. And so, this week's been, we got back late Monday night from Northern Ireland. By the way, it's another nation we've been in. And the Lord is moving in Northern Ireland. Unbelievable. And I was invited there a year ago to teach about asking, and strong relationships have been formed. What was I going to say? Oh, but even this week, typical week. I think I've met with five different pastors this week, mainly Next Generation, where we commit ourselves to, and you'll be hearing from TL in a minute, Pastor TL and Mabel. And then, another week, wasn't that an amazing gathering of pastors this week? We had over 50 pastors, a safe place for pastors, particularly for pastors to get their own healing. when you're in ministry, stuff gets on you. There's a lot of toxic stuff that gets on you. And we need to be in a safe place to be able to pray for each other, where you don't... Pastors need a place where they don't have to explain themselves. you know, they can be open. So this has been going on with much intensity. So I think when you church planters round table with Aaron Graham, a dear friend, Aaron Graham from district, with a sort of bi-generational leadership of something called the Church Planters Round Table, DC. And although we have quite a widespread to pastors, I think between us, we've probably got about 120 local pastors on our sort of gathering lists. We started Church Planters Roundtable with a real focus on DC, because often what happens is DC gets just submerged in regional stuff, Northern Virginia, Maryland, and a lot of the very particular needs of the district gets, if you know what I'm saying, just don't get touched on. So we weren't trying to be exclusive, but we set up something that's for the church planters particularly coming into DC. And we make it our business. I'm meeting with one next week of these new pastors coming in, planting churches. I don't know if you can remember years ago in a night of prayer, you know, 20 years ago, we were calling on the Lord for church planting in the district. It's just been a tsunami. It's been really incredible. And, you know, every church network wants a church in D.C., and a lot come in without any even contact with what's happening in D.C. And when I talk to pastors and say, you know, why don't they contact us, and why don't they want to relate to us? Why don't they find out what's happening? My response to them is, you've got a point, but were you there to welcome them? Are we there as the body of Christ to welcome what God is bringing into our city? So there's a huge element of our welcoming. And what a fascinating example of that is the Southern Baptist Convention has really, a couple of years ago, focused on D.C. They sent about 5 or 6 young church planters to the city. And they tend to be very sort of isolationist. I mean, they do their denominational thing, and they got blinkers on. I'll never forget the day when these young church planters, we had the meeting downstairs in the fellowship hall, and they're standing in the middle of the room asking to be prayed for and welcomed and commissioned by the pastors of the city. It was phenomenal. And so we really thank the Lord for these things, and just the depth of relationship. And it is being used of the Lord mightily in the context of racial reconciliation in the city. And Pastor, I'm going to leave you to touch on that when you come and share. So I'm a blessed man, and we're able to meet, problem solve, pray, get together, take care of family stuff for them, and I could do it 60 hours a week, and we still wouldn't cover the bases. But the kingdom of God follows lines of relationship. That's how it works. And so, you know, Pastor TL is getting invitations into white churches that don't have the prophetic and the pastoral coming from African American pastors, and I'm getting invites into places. In fact, one pastor went, no white guys ever preached on the platform. And so God's doing something, hallelujah, yeah? And so we need to pray and nurture this basis of trust. So that's just part of the pastoral.
By the way, sometimes, usually it's in February when Stuart and Celia are gone, that's the other thing the elders have said, we want you to go away for a writing sabbatical. So that's where they are, that's where something like ask happens. Because if Stuart and Celia do not go away, writing just doesn't happen. Too much going on around here. All right, we also ask for some of the people that are involved in Citywide that Stuart meets with to give us a little bit of feedback and testimonials about that. So we have a slideshow that you should recognize some of these faces, and we have some excerpts to read from them.
The first is from Pastor Dan Clare. Stuart has been a continual encouragement to me through the challenges of learning pastoral ministry. He is one of the few confidants I can trust completely with the heavy burdens I often carry as a pastor shepherd. I will never forget the time that I told him of the painful betrayal of a friend. Stuart sat across the table and wept. He was the light of Christ to me in the darkness. His compassion helped restore my hope. Hope is a key theme in Stuart's ministry to me and the dozens of other next-gen DC church leaders whom he shepherds. We see in Stuart and Celia a way forward as pastors in a cultural climate that is increasingly inhospitable to Christian faith. He has also given us a hopeful vision for multi-ethnic, trans-denominational unity in the church.
This is from Pastor Josh and Ruth Robinson. My wife and I have met with Pastor Stuart and Celia on several occasions, received both prophetic and healing prayer, counsel, and most of all, genuine love. Having pastored in the D.C. area for 5 years, I would say that the biggest issue amongst pastors and ministry leaders is the lack of spiritual fathers, parents that would love unconditionally, nurture and encourage, and walk with us pastors through the many difficulties of ministry. Pastor Stuart and Celia are doing just that in this area and around the world. I can testify to their ability to unite pastors and leaders around this vision and believe that God is raising them up with such a vital ministry for such a time as this.
This is from Pastor Mark Batterson of NCC. To my brothers and sisters of Christ our Shepherd Church, you blazed a trail for many churches, including ours, and you have made the kind of difference that only long obedience in the same direction can. The friendship of your long-tenured and faithful leaders and pastors, Stuart and Celia McAlpine, has meant so much to Laura and I. And their leadership has helped unify the church in Washington, D.C. across denominational lines and racial lines. Stuart is not just a pastor, he is a pastor of pastors. He is a voice of wisdom in an age of knowledge. Many pastors in Washington, D.C. are the beneficiary of his mentoring. And I believe this is a season that needs a seasoned pastor like Stuart. I'm grateful for his calling to the church and the city. We are all better because of it.
Pastor Ken Jones. I have known Stuart for the past 3 years, and he has been an extreme blessing to me in my ministry. Pastor Stuart has graciously taken time to meet with me to encourage me, pray for me, instruct me, and serve me as a young pastor. Though we do not get to spend a bunch of time together, I view Pastor Stuart as a father figure in the pastorate in this city. I cannot stress enough how much I affirm Pastor Stuart's gifting, skill, and passion for citywide ministry in Washington, D.C.
Pastor Glenn Hoberg. I arrived 15 years ago to plant a church. Over that time, I can't think of one local father in the faith who has pursued, encouraged, prayed for me more than Pastor Stuart. When people ask me of the most encouraging evidences of God's work in D.C., within minutes, I'm testifying to the pastor's fellowship, which Stuart began and co-leads. It takes a pastor's pastor, someone with a passion for the capital C church, and who has labored faithfully for 30-plus years, to yield the sweet fruit the Spirit is harvesting before our eyes. You can't hurry or force wine to be vintage, and you can't produce the caliber of ministry like Stuart and Celia's with 1,000 new church planters. Their ministry is unique, period.
From Devin Turner. I personally have been blessed beyond measure by my relationship with Pastor Stuart McAlpine. When I first came to D.C. to plant Revolution Church, he was one of the first pastors that I met. He truly is a dear friend of mine, and I'm grateful for the work that he does, not only with myself, but with local pastors as a whole. He has a phenomenal way about him to bring so many different pastors from so many different denominations and so many ethnic backgrounds together for the purpose of unity and fellowship. He truly is a pillar in the faith, and I am grateful to know him. So now we would like to have Stuart and Celia come down, kneel at the altar. The elders are going to gather around them and pray over them. You can help us pray over them. I'm going to invite TL and Mabel to join the elders as we pray over them. So I'll have them gather right here.
These are the kind of things you expect to hear at your funeral. But unfortunately, we're here. Well, fortunately.
So Lord, I anoint them now. I anoint them to continue that your continuing work through them, Lord, and all that you are doing. Lord, I pray Ephesians 4, 11 and 13, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Lord, your work, you're doing that work to build up your body in this city and worldwide. And we are grateful for it, and we bless it, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your ongoing work of redemption and reconciliation in this city and region. Thank you that as Stuart and Celia have offered themselves to you, you have blessed them with a renewed mind to stand against the conforming pressures of this world. We pray, Lord, that the word of Christ would continue to richly dwell within them and that you would lead them and us also in that work of transformation to advance your kingdom here. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that Stuart and Celia would feel your pleasure as they minister, Lord, as you've called them to do. Lord, all that they do is pleasing to you. And we have heard testimony upon testimony of how you have used them to touch lives. Lord, we pray that that you would touch their lives. Lord, we thank you for their testimony. We thank you for their being amongst us, Lord, and ministering to us. Lord, would you would they have a sense of freedom in what you want to do in them, in the city, in the world?
I think of the song, "You're a Good, Good Father," yeah, and "Good, Good Mother." Stuart and Celia, you are a good, good father and a good, good mother. And we are so honored and blessed to have you as part of our congregation, Father. And we're so honored and glad that Stuart and Celia are disciples for you, Christ, to go out, Father, and minister to those who need you. Just hearing the testimony from those who are so touched by them, we just bless them and honor them, Father. I ask that you provide a hedge of protection around them, Father, that they would be safe as pastors, Father. Thank you. Continue to just send them out, Father, that great commission that you've ordered us all to do, Father. We thank you for the example that they have set already. Bless them. Bless them, Father, for they are good, good father and good, good mother to those who are so much in need in this community and the world. In Jesus' name.
The blessing of Abraham be upon you. The blessing of Abraham rest on you. And I will bless you. And through you will all nations of the earth be blessed. And I will bless them that bless you. Yeah. And you shall be a blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, I pray that Stuart and Celia would continue to know how much pleasure that you have in them. And Lord, I pray that they would mount up on wings like eagles, that they would run and not be weary, and they would walk and not faint, because you are the one, Lord. It's your everlasting arms that are underneath them, upholding them, girding them up, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that we pray and ask for. We thank you for the doors that you've already opened, and we honor Stuart's prayer for doors, more doors to be opened. Cuba, Lord, open those doors. Father, we pray that you would just continue to take these dear ones whom we love from strength to strength, Lord. We pray that their joy would be full, Lord, and they would always experience your presence, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would be the one, you would be the one that they hear, the voice in the evening, the voice in the morning, and that they would know just a continuous refilling of your Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of your calling and that by his power may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Father, we do pray this for Stuart and for Celia. We thank you for your spirit, Lord, that leads them. And we thank you, Lord, that as they continue to seek them, Lord, that you will bring to their minds exactly where you want them to go and what you want them to do.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for their heart to glorify and to honor you. And we ask that as they do that, Lord, that they would find more and more grace, more and more of your grace, Lord, for every circumstance, every situation, as you lead them according to your spirit, in Christ's name.
Amen.
So, Lord, we come before you as we pray for them. Lord, we pray for ourselves as well. The scripture that Val read, Lord, we would be those who are called to pray for them. Lord, to be a part of this work by supporting them and lifting them up. Lord, we do pray right now a huge hedge of protection that we as their covering body put around them. And whatever plans the enemy would have to thwart this work, we stand against in the name of Jesus, with the power of Jesus, with the purposes of Jesus, unified and determined that their work will go forward, Lord, that your work will go forward. Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. We are in awe of what you do and what you accomplish. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if Stuart is able to gather himself from that emotional experience, I would like to ask him to come and introduce TL and Mabel. This is a direct fruit of citywide ministry, the relationship that he has with TL and Mabel. And I'm going to have him talk a little bit more about that as it impacts our body.
Thank you so much. We need the body, man. We need it. Need the covering. I'll never forget the day that I met my friend TL. I came down the stairs of Ebenezer Coffee House. I was going to a small meeting of pastors, wasn't it? Mainly senior African-American pastors. As I came down the stairs, it just happened that the first guy at the bottom of the stairs was TL. And we sort of introduced ourselves to each other and started talking. And I'll let you tell the conversation, but our hearts absolutely velcroed. And of course, what was extraordinary is we discovered that we had both planted the respective churches that we planted on the same day of the same month of the same year. And that really got our attention. And of course, I feel I've known them all my life. You know how that is in intimacy and friendship. And so this gift of God walked into my life. And since then, we've walked very closely as friends and as brothers in the work of the Lord. And you've probably noticed Teal and Mabel in and out. How many of you have noticed them in and out of the congregation recently? Yeah. And how many of you have said, wonder what that's about? We were having lunch, weren't we? We were talking. And it was just crazy because, as we've shared with you, the Lord's put a huge weight and a call to obedience on us to mature and walk out his passions and his heart and his will in the city, particularly in the context of the work needed by the Spirit, even within racial reconciliation within the body of Christ. And as elders, we had a retreat. We've asked the Lord about this, and we said to the Lord, we need help. How many of you know you can only take yourself as far as you can take yourself? And so we're always open for the Lord to send and to do and to bring in those who in God can help us to go further. And I happened to say to TL, it wasn't even planned. I mean, I think at the top of my head, right? I said, TL, what if you were open to a Macedonian call? What if you were open or you're the triumphant where you're at would be open to release you as part of the mission, to just hang with us for a while, to be who you are in Christ and to help us and to speak into our life. And it was kind of off the cuff, crazy. I didn't have any prophetic. It was just crazy. And out of that came a real apostolic call of the Lord. And now, TL is wonderful, and he's funny about it. He says, I am retired, don't you? He says, I am retired. So he's quite clear about boundaries. Okay? I kid him and say he only says that about things that he doesn't want to do. But he's like a kid in the field. He's an apostle. And but prayed about it. And I didn't even know how we got here, but the Lord has provided them for us, coming in and out, being available. Dale's going to be part of the teaching schedule. He's, of course, a brilliant organist. Mabel is fantastic, rich in worship. But they're just going to be themselves as they come in and out. And the workman's not, you know, not without his heart. We're going to provide stipendary support. But the other thing is they love to pray for the sick. They've got a great gift of healing ministry. And how many know we need men and women of faith among us to pray for healing? We need all kinds of healing. So I want to welcome my dear friend, servant of the Lord, apostle in the city, father in the city, a city father, and he's known as a city father, and Mabel. I just invite you forward, both of you. Mabel, if I don't know if you're both speaking or not, but would you like to just come? Would you welcome forward Pastor TL and Mabel? Hey! TL says, I'm the only guy he allows to kiss him.
Good morning. It's just such a joy to be in the house of the Lord. And I just want to commend you all for your support and your fellowship, your prayers and your words of encouragement for the leadership of this church. I just feel the love and the things that you allow them to do just by faith. Just by faith, you invest in them. And you're exemplifying the trademark of believers, and that is the world will know you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. And I can just feel the love and the unity that exudes from this congregation. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, we were invited to come, and here we are. After much prayer and counsel with godly men and women, asking for God's direction and approval, because we don't want to do anything without his blessings and his stamp of approval. And we feel that it has been given, and this assignment has been definitely confirmed by godly men and women. So here we are. It's a transition for us, because as Pastor Soot has already stated, that we are retired. We've been retired for 6 years now from the routine and the everyday responsibilities of pastoring. But of course, we are still workers in God's kingdom, trying to impact and do what he has assigned to our hands to do. And we will be doing that until we leave this earth. Praise God. And as long as we have breath in our bodies, we want to do what God has called us to do. And we believe that he has called us here for a season. We don't know how long. This is a step of faith. But it's not unique. We've transitioned from churches, I guess, about five times. And looking back, God has been faithful. And he's always transitioned us to a higher place. It has been a promotion. So we're not fearing. We're not. We don't have a lot of anxiety about this call. But we're just thanking God that He would even count us worthy to be able to come along and to serve beside two of God's great servants, Pastor Stewart and Celia, and this church. So we come with anticipation and great expectation of what God will do and how He will use us and how we can be poured into by other believers and we can pour into others as well. So we're leaving behind our triumphant church where we worship, where our son is the pastor. 6 years ago when we retired, our son took over the pastorate, and he's there serving, and we have been there with him for the last 6 years, serving beside him. So we are now leaving behind our triumphant church and our seven grandchildren, which I will miss greatly, seeing them every Sunday, growing in Christ and serving Christ. It's a little unique, and we're taking it one step at a time, just being open to what God is going to do. So I'm going to let Pastor T.L. talk at this time. I may have something else to say after he finishes, if he needs any kind of corrections or... But I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is going to do. I'm looking forward to working with the prayer ministry. I'm looking forward to working with the and serving with the worship team. And just any way God wants to use me, I'm available. I'm open. I'm 71 years old. Just had a birthday. I'm 71 years old. So if you want to just use me as a sounding board, just to listen, I'm a good listener, I'm available to you. So we move forward in faith and with your prayers.
Next month, October 13th, we're having a big celebration. We will be celebrating my 70th birthday and our 50th wedding anniversary, October 13th. Let me tell you how we met. I was playing for a singing group, the Angelic Redeemers, and we were asked to come and sing at the youth service at Evangelistic Center then on Georgia Avenue. And so we came and sang and I played, and after church, all the young ladies sort of lined up as I was about to walk out.
That's the first correction. Incorrect.
And they wanted to meet the good-looking musician that had played, you know. And I remember meeting Mabel. I remember she had on a white polka dot dress, had a ball on the back of her head. I remember meeting her that Friday night. That Monday, I worked up in DuPont Circle, and I would catch the bus down to meet my friend who worked at Agriculture, Department of Agriculture, and we'd go hang out. And so that Monday, as I was walking up to the corner to wait for him, Mabel was standing on the corner waiting for her carpool ride. And I said, "Didn't I just meet you Friday night?" And that's how it all got started from there, literally from there. And so that's what we, Capitol Hill is familiar with us. Our first house that we purchased 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe been 45 years ago. Probably 40. 321 Tennessee Avenue. Wow. 320. When that was a stretch then to be Capitol Hill. It was a stretch, you know. But we moved there. I went to Kingsman Elementary School at 12th and E. 14th and E. 14th and E. So very familiar with Capitol Hill. So we're just excited about it. And I've told you the story of worshiping here many times when there was Mount Calvary Baptist Church. I was a church musician for many, many years. And I was playing for a church. And as Mabel mentioned, we've done this before. I was playing for a church, Star of Bethlehem Church of God in Christ. And I knew I was being called to preach. And I decided to go and accept that call. And the Lord began to talk to me about going to worship with my uncle at the Isle of Patmos Baptist Church. Now, I was in Church of God in Christ, which was Pentecostal. And I was going to be going to a Baptist church. And the Pentecostals didn't think the Baptists were saved. And so I was real reluctant to do that. And I'll never forget the day I was walking toward the telephone to call my uncle, who pastored the Isle of Patmos Baptist Church for 44 years. And as I was walking toward the phone to call him, the phone rang, and it was him calling me and saying, "Boy, I know you don't want to hear what I got to say, but the Lord is telling you to come over here and help me at Isle of Patmos Baptist Church." And I was just stunned. I was walking toward the phone. My uncle and I really didn't get along well. It was back in the day I had the big afro, big bush. He had short haircut. We just were different, and there just wasn't any chance of us working together. And for him to ask me to come, that was one of the first big transitions for us in terms of ministry, is that. Left Isle of Patmos, pastored in King George County, Virginia. Then came back from King George County to pastor the St. Stephen's Baptist Church. And then at St. Stephen's, about 5 years in, just wonderful ministry, just the absolute wonderful time. The Lord was just blessing us. He began to tell me to do something crazy, to start a church. I mean, it was just, you know, planning churches, 35 years ago, it was not cool. It's cool now. It's the end thing to do. And the Lord began to really work on me about doing that. Long story short, I said yes. I said yes to the Lord, and we started out at the same day, of course, as Stuart mentioned, at 15th and Rhode Island Avenue. And because of that yes to the Lord, I just realized if I had not said yes to that, I would not be standing here today. The key to that is your yes to God. A lot of people are connected to your yes. Yeah, it's not just your yes, but it's all the people that are connected. Because, of course, I would not have retired. My son been the pastor, and from my son being the pastor, I met Joshua Seminette, the National Community Church, and from that relationship, I met Mark Battison, and then I met Stewart, and on and on and on and on and on. So, January of 2016, Bishop T.D. Jakes, there's a New Year's revival that my friends, First Baptist Church of Glen Arden and Greater Mount Calvary Church, have every year in January. And he was preaching, and he talked about how we make a big to-do over the seed, the importance of the seed of the Word of God, importance of being the hearing the right seed. But he said, let me tell you that it's just as important that the seed be right. It's just as important for the soil that you put the seed in to be the right soil. And he said that night, God is getting ready to replant someone here to different soil. He said, in fact, God's getting ready to move you away from all your old friends and give you a whole nother set of friends. And if that isn't what God has done, when I retired, all my pastoral friends that I'd known for 40 years in the Baptist denomination, they all began to just pull away from me. They began just to separate themselves from me. It was a hurtful time, and I just didn't understand what was going on, but I remember God's going to give you a whole nother set of friends. But then, and I don't know whether I've told you this story before, I was attending a funeral, and a man was preaching a eulogy. He wasn't doing a very good job at it at all. Dear friend of mine, in fact, I just preached for him a couple of Sundays ago. Wasn't doing a good job. But in the middle of preaching the eulogy, I don't know how he got to this. He said, you know, when we get to heaven, it's a black congregation. He said, there won't just be African Americans in heaven. I said, wow. He said, in fact, if I get to heaven and the only African Americans in heaven, I'm leaving because I know it's the wrong heaven. He said, there won't be a Harlem section of heaven. That thing convicted me so. I was under such conviction because I've been a part of an African-American convention, socially active convention. Literally, the convention was started to give Dr. Martin Luther King a platform. And it was an all African-American convention. And it just troubled me. And finally, I went to the president of the convention. I said, if the Southern Baptist Convention was an all-white convention, we 100% white, we would say they were racist. I said, so since we're 100%, we're all black, what does that make us? And he just looked at me because he couldn't answer. And the Lord had me move away from that organization that I'd been a part of for 40 years. And when I did, God started opening doors. God just started moving. God just started placing me, giving me new friends, letting me meet new organizations, different reformations of doing ministry. And the Lord has just been putting me on this racial reconciliation track that I didn't ask for. I didn't plan this. I just didn't. But looking back over my life, I see he's been preparing me for this for a long time. Because I went to Washington Bible College, which is a white Bible college. I went to that school. And while I was there, I learned another culture. I learned your culture. I learned your culture. That's why I preach the way I do, is because I learned not only the African-American preaching style, but I learned white preaching style. So I'm more well-rounded because I know more than one culture. Just by the way. Somebody say, by the way.
By the way.
If you only know one culture, you're a little lopsided.
Yeah. Yeah. Richard.
If you only like one kind of music, you're real limited. If you only like one kind of food, you're real limited. And God is calling me here to maybe help expand the boundaries. Thank God for Steward McAlpine and Celia McAlpine and Bo Parker and his wife for daring to open the doors to us. And I'm not sure what this is going to be either. One of my five top strengths. Have you ever done strength finders? You familiar with strength finders? One of my strengths is adaptability. Is not Mabel's strength. It's not Mabel's strength. So, you know, I'm happy to be patient with her as she is sort of adopts. One of the things I had been sort of complaining about when I left the pastor preaching every Sunday, I had been saying, I don't get a chance to sing anymore. I get a chance to preach. I'm called to preach, but normally when I'm called out to preach, they give me 30 minutes to preach, and that's all the time. They've already had plenty of singing, and I don't get to sing anymore, and I don't get to play anymore. I just, you know what I'm saying? And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to fix this. And they're trying to get me to play around here, Alicia. Yeah. But you know what? What I'm coming to do, I'm coming to serve. Whatever way you want me to serve, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can you. Come on, sing it with me. I give myself away. I give myself so you can use me.
Amen. Amen. Lord, do what you want to do. We are grateful for the way you lead, thankful for the ways that you have led TL and Mabel, that you have confirmed this calling. Lord, we offer ourselves as a church. Lord, we ask you that we could be a blessing to them. We can only do that if you bless them through us, Lord. So we give ourselves to you for that, and we look forward to what you're going to do. Have your way, Lord. Do whatever you want to do. We are committed to that, and we love you, Lord, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So you have no reason to be shy about approaching Pastor T.L. and Mabel and having conversations with them, saying, I'd really like to talk to you about this. Anything that's on your mind, particularly if it's related to racial reconciliation, they are here. They're saying, talk to us. We want to talk with you. As we go out to have our barbecue, one final announcement. I get to announce the engagement this week of Jim Bedorek and Ann Riley right over there. So you have an opportunity to offer them your congratulations as you go downstairs. Enjoy the food. Give generously. Pick up your children. And go in peace.